إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة
والسلام. الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: إن في الجسد لمزغة إذا سنحت سنح الجسد كله، وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله، ألا وهي القلب. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear brothers and respected elders, mothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It was the noble habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the month of Rajab used to set in, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make this dua: Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. The meaning of which is, O Allah, bless us in the month of Rajab. O Allah, bless us in the month of Sha'ban. And O Allah, take us till the month of Ramadan. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has blessed us with life to witness the barakat and the blessings of the month of Ramadan. This is a great favor and a great boon of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala upon us. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given us life to see the blessings and the barakat of the month of Ramadan. It was because of this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua: O Allah, let us see the month of Rajab. Let us see the month of Sha'ban. And don't give us mouth and death before the month of Ramadan. We should make shukr, and we should thank Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala for giving us extended life to the month of Ramadan. And we should also make dua that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala give us a long life where we could see many, many more Ramadans in the future. My dear brothers and respected elders, long life is a great barakah and a blessing of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. It is mentioned in the hadith, عن أبي بكرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قيل لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي الناس خير؟ قال من طال عمره وحسن عمله. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم asked, O Prophet of Allah, which person is the best person? Which person is the most virtuous person? Upon that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that person whom Allah has blessed with a long life and good actions and deeds. It is mentioned in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam maintained brotherhood between two sahaba in Medina Munawwara. One sahabi passed away 1 week earlier and another sahabi passed away 1 week later. After the janazah, رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم asked the Sahaba, what dua did you make for your brother? The Sahaba mentioned, O Prophet of Allah, we made dua that of Allah joined this brother and attached this brother with his brother who had passed away 1 week earlier. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that how can this brother who passed away 1 week later join with the brother that passed away 1 week earlier? Where is the salat of that brother who had passed away 1 week earlier? Where is the roza and the fast of that brother that passed away 1 week earlier? Where is the sadaqah and khairat of that brother that passed away 1 week earlier? The distance between and the distance between the brother that passed away 1 week earlier and the brother that passed away 1 week later is a distance between the sky and the heavens. It is mentioned in the hadith that fortunate is that human being and fortunate is that Muslim whom Allah has given such a long life that he even sees old age in the state of Islam. One great muhaddith, Yahya ibn Aksam, when he passed away, somebody had seen him in a dream and asked him that how did you fare with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? Yahya ibn Aksam says that when I went in the qabr, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent a message. فَعَلْتَ مَا فَعَلْتَ يَا رَجُلَ السُّوءُ. Oh bad man, oh evil man, you have done what you have done. Now you come to me, you see what I will do. Yahya ibn Aksam, being a great muhaddith, he says that مَا سَمِعْتُ بِهَذَا عَنْكَ يَا اللَّهِ. That, oh Allah, I haven't heard this about you. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala asked him, مَا سَمِعْتَ عَنِّي. What did you hear about me? Yahya ibn Aksam, being a muhaddith, being a renowned muhaddith of his time, he narrates a hadith with a chain of narrators, and he says, حدثني عبد الرزاق, حدثني معمر, حدثني عروة, حدثني زهري, حدثني عروة, حدثتني عائشة, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, قال الله تبارك وتعالى, إن قال الله تبارك وتعالى, ما من رجل مسلم يشيب في الإسلام إلا وأنا أستحي أن أعذبه. The meaning of this hadith is that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says that when a person becomes old in Islam, whole life he has spent in Islam, and during old age when he dies and he comes to me, I feel shame that I punish such an old man. When Yahya ibn Aksam quoted this hadith, which has come from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, being a hadith Qudsi, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala then responded and told to Yahya ibn Aksam that Sadaqa Abdul Razak, what Abdul Razak have narrated was correct, what Zuhri have narrated was correct, what Ma'mar have narrated was correct, what Zuhri have narrated was correct, what Aisha radiallahu ta'ala has narrated is correct, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has narrated is correct, and what I have said that I will not punish an old man because they become old in Islam is also correct. My dear brothers and respected elders, let us make shukr and thank Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given us this Mubarak time in the month of Ramadan to witness the barakat and the blessings of the month of Ramadan. We have gathered here tonight upon the completion of the Quran Kareem. We make dua that Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accept the khatm Quran. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give all the huffaz jazai khair for reciting the Quran Kareem. My dear brothers and respected elders, the might of the Quran Kareem is so powerful that is beyond our understanding and comprehension to understand and comprehend the might of the Quran Kareem. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. That if Allah tabarak wa ta'ala would have revealed this Quran Kareem on the mountains. The mountains being huge, the mountains being gigantic. If Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala would have revealed the Quran Kareem on the mountains, you would see the effect of the loftiness on the mountains, that the mountain will also blow down into smithereens because of the power of the Quran Kareem. It is mentioned in the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَرَأَ طَاهَا وَيَاسِينَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِأَلْفِ عَامٍ فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ قَالَتْ تُوبَى لِأُمَّةٍ يَنْزِلُ هَذَا عَلَيْهَا وَتُوبَى لِأَجْوَافٍ يَحْمِلُ هَذَا وَتُوبَى لِأَلْسِنَةٍ تَتَكَلَّمُ هَذَا. The meaning of this hadith is that 1,000 years before Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala created the sky and the earth, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala himself, he recited Surah Yasin and Surah Taha. One can imagine the beauty of the recitation of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. When the malaika heard the recitation of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, they immediately commented and they said, how fortunate is that ummah upon whom this Quran would be revealed. How fortunate are those chests that will carry the Quran Kareem. And how fortunate are those tongues that will recite the Quran Kareem. It is mentioned in one hadith, one night, one sahabi, Ibn Huzair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was reciting the Quran Kareem. And while reciting the Quran Kareem, there was the horse that was tied next to him. In the olden days, the animals used to be in the house. So while they were reciting the Quran Kareem, he noticed that the horse was jumping. He stopped his recitation. The horse stopped jumping. He started reciting again, the horse started jumping again. He was shocked, he was surprised. He suddenly looks up towards the skies and he sees that there is a light that is coming towards him. In the morning, he goes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, O Prophet of Allah, I was reciting the Quran last night and the horse was jumping. I stopped reciting, the horse stopped jumping. And I actually feared that my son Yahya is nearby and the horse may trample my son Yahya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told to Ibn Huzair, Iqra' Ibn Huzair, Iqra' Ibn Huzair. Oh Ibn Huzair, you should have continued reciting the Quran Kareem. That light that you saw coming towards you, تِلْكَ الْمَلَائِكَ دَنَتْ لِسَوْتِكَ, that those were the angels, they were attracted to your recitation of the Quran Kareem. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that if you would have continued reciting the Quran Kareem, لَأَصْبَحَتْ يَنْظُرُ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهَا, that right up till the morning, the angels would be consumed in the listening, the recitation of the Quran Kareem, and in the morning, all the Sahaba would have, with their own eyes, be able to see the Malaika. My dear brothers and respected elders, once Sahaba, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when there will be fitna, when there will be corruption, when there will be evil on earth, what should we do? What is the solution to all our problems? Whether it is domestic problems, whether it is social problems, whether it is political problems, whether it is business and economics, whatever the problems are, O Prophet of Allah, what is the solution to all these problems? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, the solution to all the problems are, Kitabullah, fihi naba'u ma qablakum, wa khabru ma ba'dakum, wa hukmu ma baynakum, huwa al-fasal laysa bil-hadal, man tarakahu min jabbarin qasabahu Allah, wa man ibtaga al-huda min ghayrihi adallahu Allah. وَوَ الذِّكْرُ الْحَكِيمُ وَوَ الْحَبْلُ الْحَكِيمُ وَوَ الْحَبْلُ الْمَتِينُ وَوَ الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ هو الذي لا تزيغ به الأهواء ولا تلتبس به الألسنة ولا يشبع منه العلماء ولا يخلق عن كثرة الرد من قال به صدق ومن عمل به أجر ومن حجم به عدل ومن دعا إليه هدي إلى صراط مستقيم. نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم mentions to Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه that when you face any problems, the solution to all your problems is the كتاب الله, the Quranic. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم then defines what is the Quran Kareem and what is contained in the Quran Kareem. He says the Quran Kareem, it has in it information about the past. The Quran Kareem has in it information about the future. The Quran Kareem, it is a strong decree among you. The Quran Kareem is such that it is a strong rope between the Khaliq and the Makhluq. The Quran Kareem is such that the heart are never deviated through it. The tongue is never confused through it. The Quran Kareem is such that when the ulama look into the depth of the Quran Kareem, the pearls of the Quran Kareem never ever come to an end. The Quran Kareem is such that whosoever speaks about the Quran has spoken the truth. Whosoever makes amal and practices on the Quran Kareem, he'll be rewarded. Whosoever decrees and judges through the Quran Kareem has made justice and insaf. And whosoever invited towards the Quran Kareem, he has been invited towards the straight path. My dear brothers and respected elders, that those people that bear the Quran Kareem, the Huffaz, they have a very lofty status in the sight of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. It is mentioned in one hadith, an Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal, qal Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna lillahi ahleen, hum ahlul Qur'an, hum ahlullah wa khassatuhu. Oh, kama qal al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that there are special people who are the household of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. They belong to the family of Allah. Upon that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that those people who are the bearers of the Quran, those people who got the Quran Kareem in the chest and the hearts, they are the household of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In one hadith, it is mentioned that al-mahiru bil-Qur'an ma'as-safarati al-kiram al-barara, that person who is an expert in the recitation of the Quran Kareem, his maqam is so high, so lofty, that he is equal to the high-ranking angels in the heavens. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that a hafiz, he, whatever he asks for from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, because of him being engaged in the Quran Kareem, his request is always heard in the heavens by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, man shagalahu al-Quran, من شغله القرآن عن ذكري ومسألتي أعطيته أفضل ما أوتي السائلين. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that person who is engaged in the Quran Kareem, he's reciting the Quran Kareem in the moments of the day, he's reciting the Quran Kareem in the moments of the night, and because of that he cannot make dua to me, because of that he cannot make my zikr, what I will give those people that ask me, I will give a hafiz of the Quran who's engaged in the tilawat of the Quran more than those people that ask me. It is mentioned in one hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a hafiz of the Quran, his position is so great and so lofty in the sight of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man qara'a al-Quran, فَاسْتَظْهَرَهُ فَأَحَلَّ حَلَالَهُ وَأَحَرَّمَ حَرَامَهُ أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةِ وَشَفِّعْهُ فِي أَشَرَةٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ كُلُّهُمْ قَدْ وَجَبَتَهُ النَّارِ. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that a hafiz of the Quran, who memorizes the Quran, he practices on the Quran, what is halal he regards to be halal, what is haram he regards to be haram, such a person, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will grant him entrance into Jannat and Paradise because of the barakat of the Quran. And 10 people, minimum 10 people from his family upon whom the fire of Jahannam has become wajib. When this hafiz of the Quran will say, oh Allah, this is my family, this is my brother, This is my uncle. This is my auntie. This is my father. This is my mother. Oh Allah, fire of Jahannam has become haram upon them. I beseech you in the name of the Quran that you take them out from Jahannam and put them into Jannat. With the barakat of the Quran Kareem, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will grant them entrance into Jannat and paradise. A hafiz is not just a hafiz that we know. A person who memorized the Quran Kareem. The word hafiz is an Arabic word. And literally it means a guard. A hafiz of the Quran Kareem, when he memorizes the Quran Kareem, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has taken responsibility to preserve and make hifazat of the Quran Kareem. The Quran Kareem today, after 1400 years, is preserved in the exact manner as it was revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He uses a hafiz to protect and preserve the Quran Kareem. The hafiz, he is an official guard of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Every country, every sovereign, it has its own army. It has its own troop to look after its government and to look after its sovereign. The army and the troop of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to protect the kalamullah of the huffaz that Allah has sent in the world. And the baqam and the position of an official guard is a very great one. And therefore, the reward for that is also very, very great. It is mentioned in one hadith. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala who says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person who recites the Quran Kareem, for every alphabet he will get 10 rewards. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I don't say that alif lam mim is one alphabet. I say alif is one alphabet, lam is another alphabet, mim is another alphabet, and upon reciting alone alif lam mim, the person gets 30 rewards. My dear brothers and respected elders, let us do some mathematics now. The Quran Kareem has 6,666 verses. If we have to assume every verse of the Quran Kareem having a minimum of 3 alphabets, then the minimum number of alphabets in the Quran Kareem would be 20,000. And upon every alphabet, a person is rewarded 10 times. That will be 200,000. Whilst memorizing the Quran Kareem, the bare minimum a hafiz will recite the Quran Kareem in the course of memorizing the Quran Kareem will be 10 times. You take 200,000 and multiply it by another 10, that will be 2 million. 2 million rewards just upon reciting or memorizing the Quran Kareem. What about the time when you will recite the Quran Kareem after that in a different moments of his life? What about that time when he will be teaching other children the hifz of the Quran Kareem? What about those times when he will make imamat and recite the Quran Kareem to the people? Imagine what great lofty sawab Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has kept for a hafiz. It is mentioned in the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that on the day of Qiyamah, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will tell to a hafiz, Iqra' wartaqi warattil kama kunta turattilu fil dunya فإن منزلك عند آخر آية تقرأها. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that read one verse in the akhirat, Allah will tell him in Jannat, read one verse of the Quran Kareem, and as you read one verse, ascend the stages of Jannat, and your last stage in Jannat will be the last verse of the Quran that you have recited. When there's so much of reward for a hafiz of the Quran Kareem, one can imagine how high a hafiz will be in Jannat. Allah Ta'ala grant all of us the true love of the Quran Kareem. My dear brothers and respected elders, a hafiz of the Quran Kareem is very, very close in the sight of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. The Quran Kareem, it is a reflection of the knowledge and of the ilm of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The knowledge of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is complete. It is comprehensive. It is perfect. It is absolute. There are no flaws and no deficiencies in the perfect knowledge of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about his ilm. He speaks about his knowledge in the Quran al-Kareem. He says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحَرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about his knowledge being so wide and so extensive. He says, by him are the keys of the unseen treasure. He knows everything. Nothing is hidden from the perfect knowledge of Allah to such an extent that if there is a leaf from any tree, not the tree of Leicester, not only the trees of England, not only the trees of the Western world, but every tree in the world, the millions and millions of trees, if from a single tree one leaf has to fall down, the knowledge of that is also by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has knowledge of every pebble that is in the desert, the millions and millions of pebbles. The knowledge of each and every pebble is by Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he explains the extent of the knowledge of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He says, when the night has reached its pinnacle of darkness, when it got completely dark, a person cannot see a single thing. In such total darkness, in a deep well that is fathoms deep, darkness of the night, darkness of the well that is fathoms deep, at the bottom of that well there is a black rock. Darkness of the night, darkness of the well, darkness of the rock that is fathoms deep. If there happen to be an ant, small black ant, that is walking on that rock that is at the bottom of the well, in the darkness of the night, the walking sound of that ant on the rock is also heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the arsh. How vast is the knowledge of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those things that are possible, Allah knows. Those things that are not possible, that too Allah knows. Through an impossibility, if another impossibility has emerged, Allah has the knowledge of that as well. My dear brothers and respected elders, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us about the Quran al-Kareem, tibyanan likulli shay. The Quran al-Kareem, it explains each and everything. The Quran al-Kareem contains everything. There's nothing hidden in the Quran al-Kareem. Yes, there may be certain things in the Quran al-Kareem that are express. There are certain things in the Quran al-Kareem that are qat'iyu thubut, that are expressly mentioned. But there may be many, many other things in the Quran al-Kareem that are not expressly mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem, but they are there. And over a period of time, as events unfold, when we look inside the Quran al-Kareem, we find the information inside there. We are a nation that we are very proud. We do not suffer inferiority complex. We are superior. We are the bearers of the Quran al-Kareem. We are a dynamic ummah. We lead people. People don't lead us. We lead people. We are not led. We should value the Quran al-Kareem and understand the contents of the Quran al-Kareem. The Quran al-Kareem has such information that upon information coming to the surface from the Quran al-Kareem, we will be shocked and we will be amazed. It is not only the tarjumah of the Quran al-Kareem, it is not only the translation of the Quran al-Kareem, but when one looks deeper into the Quran al-Kareem, there are such pearls that come out from the Quran al-Kareem that we as the ummah will feel proud about. Scientists recently have discovered so much of information, and they have gathered so much of scientific information before us that we feel surprised and amazed about that. But as an ummah, as bearers of the Quran al-Kareem, The ulama of deen, they're not shocked and they're not surprised and amazed upon that information that come before us through the scientists. Take for example, the concept of chromosomes. When a male and a female, a husband and a wife, when they copulate, and the water of the man has to join up with the water of the woman, the husband and the wife. When fertilization takes place, upon that fertilization, that small drop of water, in that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has created all the features of the human being. How his eyes going to be, how his face is going to be, how his ears is going to be, how his hands and legs going to be, and what the condition of his body is going to be. Allah has created all those features in that one drop of water. This is known as chromosomes. Scientists recently have discovered that. But to us, that is not surprising, because that information already in the Quran al-Kareem, Allah told it to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam 1400 years ago. Allah tells in the Quran al-Kareem, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ خَلَقَ. Concept of chromosomes, which scientists feel so proud about, the discovery, here's in the Quran al-Kareem, which I've recited before you. Allah says that Allah خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ. Then look at man, how ungrateful he is. Allah created him from a drop of water. And from a nutfa, from the nutfa Allah created. In that nutfa is every aspect of the creation of mankind. The concept of embryology, the formation of the child in the womb of the mother. Recently scientists have explained that upon 4 weeks, how the child is developed. Upon 8 weeks, what the progress is. Upon 12 weeks, where the progress is. 4 months, where the progress is. What are the first things that become active? The ears become active. But this is nothing new and surprising to us. If as an ummah, we value the Quran al-Kareem, the concept of embryology is already in the Quran al-Kareem. Dr. Kate Moore of Canada, who is an expert in embryology, he actually took a study. And after studying the Quran al-Kareem, he himself stated, which was also published in the Toronto Times, that the concept of embryology in the Quran al-Kareem is so perfect that nobody can ever deny that. Allah says in the Quran al-Kareem, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِن نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ مِن عَلَقَةٍ ثُمَّ مِن مُضْغَةٍ مُخَلَّقَةٍ وَغَيْرَ مُخَلَّقَةٍ. How Allah Tabarak created different forms of the child, the womb of the mother, that is the qudrat of Allah. Allah has also mentioned it to us in the Quran al-Kareem. My dear brothers and respected elders, we the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let us not suffer an inferiority complex. Let us be proud with the Quran al-Kareem. It is mentioned in the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَرَفًا يَتَبَاهُونَ بِهِ. That everything has an item through which it prides itself. And the pride of this ummah is the Quran al-Kareem. Scientists recently have discovered that steel, iron, that is underground, is not something that is produced from underground. It is extraterrestrial. It's not from underground. It came from somewhere else. Up till today, scientists are baffled where steel came from. That steel is not from produced underground. The ground does not have the capacity to contain the steel. Where the steel has come from? They're still investigating it, but we will give the answer. In Surah Hadid, in the 28th juz of the Quran al-Kareem, in the chapter of iron, in the chapter of steel, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. Allah says that steel had been sent down. Those of you that are linguistically educated with Arabic syntax and etymology would know that the word anzalna means it was revealed. Scientists have said that steel is extraterrestrial. Allah says, yes, it came from somewhere else. Where it came from, let the scientists come with the answer. My dear brothers and respected elders, we look into the Quran al-Kareem. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given us such information in the Quran Kareem that it is upon us to sit back, reflect, think. Unfortunately today, we, the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we suffer an inferiority complex. The very concept of life, how the world came into existence, that itself is already mentioned in the Quran Kareem. Scientists believe in the concept of the Big Bang Theory, that the sky and the earth were all together. And there was a big bang, the sky went up, the earth came down. To us it's not surprising, because Allah mentioned in the Quran Kareem, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَ رَتْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا. Don't you see that the sky and the earth were all together locked up, and we cracked the sky and the earth. This is already in the Quran Kareem. The very inception of life, life starts off. In biology we learned that the concept of life is water and amoeba. But this is mentioned in the Quran Kareem, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ, that we have created every existing thing from water. My dear brothers and respected elders, let us make qadr of the Quran Kareem. And don't have this misconception that those people who are huffaz of the Quran Kareem, don't have this misconception that those people who are ulama, they only know the Quran, they only know about Sharia, they only know about namaz, they only know about roza, usse zyada wo kuch jante bante nahi. Aisi baat nahi hai. Allah has given ulama the Quran Kareem, and the knowledge that the ulama have is far more superior than all the secular knowledge. Do not give preference to secular knowledge over deen knowledge. If you are going to give preference to secular knowledge over deen knowledge, then firstly you will be committing a sin. Secondly, the deen will go in a decline and you'll retrogress in your deen, because you have no value of ilm deen in your hearts. My dear brothers and respected elders, let us not lose sight of the month of Ramadan. I decided to share a few words about the Quran Kareem with you, but let us not lose sight of the month of Ramadan. It is mentioned in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, the month of Ramadan is such, هو شهر أوله رحمة وأوسطه مغفرة وآخره عتق من النار. The month of Ramadan, the first 10 days, it invokes a special rahmat and a mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The middle 10 days is a special maghfirat and tawbah from the side of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And the last 10 days is freedom and emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. We are going through the last moments of the month of Ramadan. We have already on the 27th. And within 2 or 3 days' time, the month of Ramadan is going to come to an end. It is time for us, in this last few moments of the month of Ramadan, to spend our time and ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to free our souls from the fire of Jahannam. We ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala decrease for us our entrance into Jannat and Paradise. My dear brothers and respected elders, in order to understand this, what is the fire of hell and what is Jannat and what we are beseeching from, what we are asking Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for, it is important that we have some information and the details of that. We, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, it is our aqeedah, the aqeedah of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that once we die, that is not the end of ourselves. Our bodies in the qabr, they don't just disintegrate. We believe in the concept of resurrection. We believe in the concept of accountability and hisab in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We believe that we are going to stand before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and give an account for our actions and our deeds. It is also our belief that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala once, He will forgive us. And we are hopeful of the forgiveness of Allah. And it is our belief that if Allah tabarak wa ta'ala wants to punish us, He will punish us as well. It is also our aqeedah, and it is also our belief that al-jannat wal-nar mawjoodatan huma makhlooqatan. That jannat is presently created, jahannam is created. Both of them presently are in existence. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, Aber Adam a.s. ging in Jannat. Ja, Adam, uskun anta wa zawjuka al-Jannah. Oh Adam, you and your wife stay in Jannat. So it is our belief that Jannat is in present existence and Jahannam is also in its existence. It is mentioned in the books of Hadith that one, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He created the fire of hell. He created Jahannam. He told Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, Oh Jibreel, go and see Jahannam. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam saw the fire of hell. Allah asked him, Oh Jibreel, how did you see the fire of hell? What do you think about it? He said, Oh Allah, this place is a very frightening place. Anybody that sees the fire of hell would never want to be there. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala then surrounded the fire of hell with pleasures, with attractions, with desires, with aspirations, with passion. Then Allah told Jibreel alayhi salam, Oh Jibreel, now go and see the fire of hell. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam sees the fire of hell and he says, Oh Allah, anybody that sees the fire of hell, now it will be very easy for him to enter into the fire of hell. It is mentioned in one hadith, there was a discussion between paradise and hell. Jannat told to the fire of hell, in me, they're very weak people, they're very humble people. The fire of hell told to Jannat, in me, they're the great people, they're the very proud people. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala did made a decision. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told to Jannat, Anti rahmati arhamu biki man asha'u min ibadi. That you are my mercy. It is through you that I show my mercy to my banda. And then Allah told to the fire of hell, Anti azabi u'azibu biki man asha'u min ibadi. That you are my azab. And it is through you that I will give my azab to people. My dear brothers and respected elders, the fire of hell is very, very serious. And it is something that we should cry to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that Allah save us from the fire of hell. It is mentioned in one hadith, An Abi Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal, qal Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narukum juz'un min sab'ina juz'an min nari jahannam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this fire of this world, it is only 1/70th of the fire of Jahannam. When the fire of this world is so severe that huge thick buildings are raised down to the ground because of the fire, imagine what will the fire 70 times worse will do to our bodies. It is mentioned in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أُوْقِدَ عَلَى النَّارِ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ ثُمَّ أُوْقِدَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ ثُمَّ أُوْقِدَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the fire of hell was made to burn for 1,000 years until the fire of hell became red. Then the fire of hell was made to burn for another 1,000 years until it became white. Then the fire of hell was made to burn for another 1,000 years until Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned فَهِيَ سَوْدَاءُ مُسْلِمَةً that now the fire of hell, it is dark and it is black. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, يُؤْتَى بِجَهَنَّمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَهَا سَبْعُونَ أَلْفَ زِمَامٍ مَعَ كُلِّ زِمَامٍ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفَ مَلَائِكَةٍ أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that on the day of hell, on the day of judgment, Jahannam, the fire of hell, it will be so ferocious and it will be so angry. If it is let loose, it will eat all of mankind up. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that on that day, the fire of hell would have 70,000 chains to contain the anger of the fire of Jahannam. And with every chain, Allah will appoint 70,000 malaika to hold each chain of the fire of Jahannam back. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the fire of Jahannam, that the person who will get the least punishment in the fire of Jahannam will be that person who will be made to wear shoes of the fire of Jahannam. That's all. Nothing more than that. Just the shoes of the fire of Jahannam. The effect of that will be so severe that his head will be boiling. And he will think that he is the person that's getting the worst azab in Jahannam, yet he is the person getting the least azab in Jahannam. The inmates of the fire of Jahannam, Allah will make the bodies also very big, so that they would bear more and more punishment. It is mentioned in our hadith, quoted in Mishkat in the second volume, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the skin, we know what is the skin of our bodies, how thin it is, a slight scratch, blood comes out. But the skins of the people in the fire of Jahannam will be 40 ziras. One zira in Arabic is approximately half a meter. 40 ziras will be 20 meters. The body of the inmate in the fire of Jahannam, that the skin alone will be 20 meters. Imagine what will the condition of the person's flesh will be. How big the bones will be. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that the person in the fire of Jahannam, his body will be so big that the area between the earlobe till the shoulder, the area between the earlobe and the shoulder, masiratu sab'a mi'ati al-amin, that a distance will be 700 years distance just between the earlobe and the shoulder. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the thigh of a person in the fire of Jahannam, وَفَخِذُهُ مِثْلَ الْبَيْزَاءِ, that his thigh, it will be equivalent to the Mount Bayza. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the tut of a person in the fire of Jahannam, وَأَنَّ ذَرْثَهُ مِثْلُ أُحُدُ, that the tut of the person in the fire of Jahannam will be equivalent to the Mount Uhud. My dear brethren and respected elders, it's a frightening thing. We must fear Allah. Don't take, when we hear about the fire of Jahannam, don't take it for granted. We are mu'mins. We fear the day of judgment. And we take it seriously. And we don't take it for granted. It is mentioned in the Quran. When a person will be in the fire of Jahannam, he will be hungry. He is burning all the time. But he's got a stomach too. And in Jannah, in the dunya, he was worried about his stomach. In the Jahannam too, he'll worry about his stomach. In Jahannam, he'll be worried. He's very hungry. He will ask for food. When he asks for food, then a thorny tree which is known as zakum will be given to him. Allah mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem, Inna shajarat al-zakum tu'amul asim kalmuhli yaghli fil butun. That Allah will give that person that tree from zakum, which will be a thorny tree. He will be made to eat it. And he would want to fill his tummy up, but it will come to his throat and get stuck. Now his pain will be compounded. The pain of hunger is there. And now there's more pain because a thorn is gone to his throat and he's stuck. He'll be pain upon pain. He will then remember, when I was in this dunya, and anything used to get stuck in my throat, I used to ask for water, I used to drink it, and it should go down. So he will ask for water. When he asks for water, boiling hot water will be given to him. It is mentioned in the books of hadith, quoted in Mishkat in the second volume, that the boiling water will be so boiling hot that the angels that are appointed to give him that water, they will have to hold that water with grippers. They will bring it next to that person. Before the person could even drink the water, the skin of the Jahannami will melt with the heat of that water. Then he'll be made to drink the water. When he will drink the water, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that thorn will go down, that boiling water will go down, that thorn will bring wounds inside his stomach, and that boiling water will take out all his intestines from inside his stomach. Allah save us from the fire of Jahannam. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min azab al-nar. Allah save us from the fire of Jahannam. My dear brethren, respect elders, Allah is adil. Allah is just. Allah only don't punish. Allah is Rahman. Allah is Rahim. Allah is Ghafoor. He is most merciful. It is mentioned in the hadith that is written under the throne and under the arsh of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Inna rahmati ghalabat ghazabi. That verily my mercy, it supersedes my anger. Allah's mercy is more than the anger of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And Allah looks for opportunities, and Allah looks for slights like excuses to have our sins forgiven. Just as Allah punishes through the fire of hell, Allah is just. If a person does good, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala rewards that individual also. It is mentioned in the hadith. One sahabi, he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the layout in Jannat. How will Jannat be? What is the layout of Jannat? Ma bina'uha. What is the layout of Jannat? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the layout of Jannat. And he said that turbatuha al-za'afran. That the layout of Jannat, the ground of Jannat, it won't be like the ground in this world that is made out of sand and mud. But the ground of Jannat will be of za'afran. And that ground of Jannat, it won't be covered with stones and pebbles like this world. But Nabi Sallallahu mentioned, the stones and the pebbles of Jannat, it will be made out of rubies and precious stones. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained that the building in Jannat, labinatum min zahab wa labinatum min fidza, that one brick, it will be made of gold, another brick will be made out of silver. And between the gold and silver, in this world when a person does building, he puts one brick to another brick, and there's plaster in between. Nabi Sallallahu mentioned that the plaster between the two bricks, it will be made out of musk, musk, beautiful smell of musk coming out between the two bricks. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained, when a person goes into Jannat, in paradise, when he comes out from his house, he will see streams, such streams that he never ever thought about. And every bounty of Jannat is such that Allah mentioned, أَعَدَدْتُ الْعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ, that I've created such bounties for my banda in Jannat that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and the thought of the bounties of Al-Jannah have never crossed the heart of any individual. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the streams in Jannat, one will be an ocean of crystal clear water. When we see the seas and the waves of the sea, there will be one sea in Jannat with crystal clear water. One sea will be of clear honey. One sea and the waves of the sea, it will be of beautiful milk. And one sea of Jannat, it will be of sharab, wine and alcohol, which will be obviously permissible in Jannat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains the condition of the inmates of Jannat. Just as he described the inmates of hell, he also explained the inmates of the people in Jannat. He has explained, he said that yadkhulu jannata aqwamun qulubuhum af'idatuhum ka'af'idati tayr. Such people will go into Jannat, in paradise, that their hearts will be soft like the hearts of birds. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that the people that will go into Jannat, the yadkhulul jannata zurdam murda mukahaleen abna asalati wa salateen, that when a person goes into Jannat, he will be 33 years of age. He will be young, and it will be told to him that your youth is never going to come to an end. You are a youth, you'll remain in youth forever and enjoy the bounty in Jannat forever. It will be told to a Jannati, after getting all the bounties in Jannat, Allah will call him. Allah will tell to him, oh my banda, oh my beloved, you were obedient to me in the world. Ask what you want. The person will say, Ya Allah, you have given everything, what else do I want? Allah will say, no, there's one more thing that I have to give you, ask. The person will think. And then finally, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will say to the Jannatis, Al-Yawma Uhillu alaykum ridwani fala askhatu alaykum ba'dahu abada. That, oh my banda, today I'm descending my ridwan and my pleasure upon you. And from this day onward, I'll never ever get displeased and naraz with you. This pleasure and this announcement of Allah in Jannat will be the greatest gift upon the Jannatis in Jannat. And he can mention, on a Friday, when the people used to come for Jummah in this dunya, at that time, the greatest moment for a Jannati will be not the bounties of Jannat, but that opportunity on a Friday when a person comes for the Jummah Salah. In Jannat, on that equivalent time, Allah will reveal Himself before His Banda, and all of us will have the opportunity to see the face of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, وُجُوهِ يَوْمَ إِذٍ نَاظِرَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَ. On the day of Qiyamah, there will be such faces, they will be bright, they will be fresh, they will be looking towards Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, sab ko jannat naseeb farmaye. My dear brothers and respected elders, it is very important for us. The month of Ramadan has been a month for us to attain taqwa. It was a month that Allah has given us the opportunity that we clean ourselves and save ourselves from the fire of Jahannam and go into the paradise and Jannat of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. The purpose of the month of Ramadan was taqwa. We could eat, we could stay away from eats. We could stay away from drinks. We could stay away from fulfilling our passion and our desires. These are the natural demands of a human being. A human being has to eat. A human being has to drink. A human being a married person with a biological change within his body, he's got a demand and an urge for the opposite gender. He has to fulfill his passion and his desire. But with all that, in the month of Ramadan, he exercised restraint. And he controlled his natural temptations. When he can do that, it shows that he can stay away from guna. It is definitely possible to stay away from sins. And the month of Ramadan was for us to attain taqwa, to stay away from sins. The ulama have explained that by the time the month of Ramadan comes to an end, we should assess ourselves. We have fasted in the month of Ramadan. What did we achieve through the month of Ramadan? Before the month of Ramadan, you'll have heard from the ulama that the purpose of fasting was taqwa, stay away from sins. Now the month of Ramadan has come to an end. Let us take stock of ourselves and let us see to what extent that we have achieved this taqwa. Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi, rahmatullahi alayhi, in Tanbihul Ghafilin, he has explained 10 signs. If that a person could use as a standard, a person could use as a measure to determine whether he's got taqwa in him or not. The first sign that not to make ghibat, not to backbite, that the first sign of taqwa is, do we stop backbiting or not? Or we are still backbiting? If we still backbiting, we have failed the first test of taqwa. The second indication of taqwa is that the individual, he does not have bad thoughts about the next person. Kisi ke bare mein bura khayal na rakhe. Don't have bad and evil thoughts about an individual. If now the month of Ramadan has passed by, we still have bad thoughts about an individual, we have failed the test. If we have cleaned our hearts, we don't have bad thoughts about the next person, then alhamdulillah, we have passed the test. The third sign of taqwa is we don't make a mockery of other people. It is a sign of pride. It is a sign of ghurur. It is a sign of takabbur that you make a mockery of other people. The fourth sign of taqwa is that we lower our gaze. It is human nature that a man is attracted to the opposite gender, to the form of a woman, to the shape of a woman, the beauty of a woman. It is human nature. And same, a woman is also attracted to the masculine qualities of a male. And when a man happens to see a woman happens to see a man, the sign of taqwa, he lowers his gaze. How do we expect to have the love of Allah in our hearts when the form of the woman, the shape of a woman, the beauty of the woman is filled up in our hearts? We are reading our namaz, we think we are talking to Allah, but inside our hearts there is form and beauty of woman inside our hearts. The fifth sign of taqwa, when a person talks, he talks straight. Idhar udhar ki baatein nahi karta, seedhi seedhi baatein karta. That is what is called taqwa. The sixth sign of taqwa is what ni'mat Allah has bestowed us, make shukr. How many ni'mat Allah has given to us? Did we make shukr? If you made shukr, alhamdulillah. If you didn't make shukr, again, we have failed the test of taqwa. The seventh sign of taqwa is that we spend moderately. We are not excessive in our spending, in our worldly issues. Yes, in issues of deen, in issues of promoting Islam, there is no limit. We give as much as we can. But in worldly issues, we control ourselves and we are moderate. The eighth sign is we have no pride. That I gave this money, I gave that money, isko sunata hai, usko sunata hai, and he makes a big name about himself, that is pride. Allah doesn't like that. The ninth sign of taqwa is where we are paabund with our salat. Especially the middle age and the youth. Alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan, you have been coming to masjid, keep it up. You have started it, don't lose it. The old people, alhamdulillah, they normally do come to a masjid, and that is why I specifically address the middle age and the youth. You have come in the masjid. You have seen the masjid 5 days, five times a day. Alhamdulillah, keep that up and don't go on a decline. And the tenth sign of taqwa is that you are sensitive to deen. You are sensitive to shariat. And you don't take shariat for granted. You refer to your local ulama. In your heart, you have the greatest amount of respect for your ulama. The ulama are not manaika. The ulama are not angels. They are not free of any blemish. But you regard them to be human beings that overlook any shortcomings, but have the greater amount of respect for the ulama in the hearts. These are the 10 signs of taqwa. And if we haven't achieved the taqwa, now, my dear brothers and sisters, there's a need for us to make our islah. There's a need for us to change. The month of Ramadan is just a kickstart. The month of Ramadan is not a full exercise. And it is not the end of taqwa. It is not the end of our process of reformation. It is something that we should carry on all the time. Carry on making our islah. Carry on making our reformation. One of the missions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was tazkiyatun nafs. Was to purify the soul. Our soul, they have some evils inside. Just as there are good instincts in our soul, there are also corresponding evils inside our souls. There's pride, there's jealousy, there's anger, there's animosity, there's rancor. These are all the evils inside our hearts. People say that I don't enjoy peace in my life. I got the most beautiful wife. I got the best of cars. I've got the best of houses. I've got a posturpedic mattress. I'm trying to sleep on that. I've got every form of comfort. Magar mujhe zindagi ke liye chain hi chain nahi hai. Why is that? You've got all the means of comfort. You've got all the means of your peace. You've got all the means of your serenity. But my dear brothers and sister elders, wallah, you'll never ever get peace until you don't make the reformation of your nufus. When we got dirt inside our hearts, how can we have peace? When we've got hasad, we've got jealousy. Allah ne usko kyun diya, mujhe kyun nahi diya? Allah gave that person, why I don't have it? When I can't even control my anger, all the time my heart is bursting with anger. How can we have peace? All the time there is pride, feeling big about oneself. Then how can the heart enjoy peace, contentment and serenity? In our houses, if our houses are filled with dirt, if there's urine inside our houses, there's excreta inside our houses, if there's thorns strewn throughout our houses, we won't go inside our houses, we'll clean our houses. When we won't sleep in a house that is filled with dirt, how can we live with a heart that's filled with dirt? Many of us complain that we don't feel the marifat of Allah in our hearts. How can you feel the marifat and the recognition of Allah in the heart when the heart is filled with dirt? When there's a bowl, and if the bowl is clean, you put clean water will remain. But if the dirt inside the bowl, clean water will also make that bowl dirty. If our hearts are clean, then you'll find we're reading Quran, we're reading Salat, it will have an effect in our heart. But in spite of our reading Salat, in spite of us reading Quran and doing all good deeds, if there's further dirt inside our heart, my dear brethren and sisters, it is not void of any benefit, but we won't realize the true marifat of Allah in our hearts. We have to make an effort. We have to make a sacrifice to make tazkiyah for our nufus. And it was a great mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that used to make tazkiyah of the Sahaba, make purify and reform the hearts of the Sahaba. When a person is physically sick, he's got some ailment, he won't just sit back. He'll go to a doctor, he'll go to a physician, and he won't take it for granted. And right up till his last breath, he will do anything possible to get medication. When that is the condition with our physical selves, why not adopt the same attitude with our spiritual selves? How can we get the closest to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? We have to make an effort. We have to make a sacrifice. Ibrahim ibn Adham, he was a king. One day, he was sleeping on the top of his house, on the roof. And being a king, is in a palace, everything is locked up and nobody have access. So whilst he was sleeping, he heard a sound. He woke up, he saw somebody strolling around. He asked the person, "Bhai, what you want?" The person told Ibrahim ibn Adham, "I'm looking for my cow." Cow on the roof of somebody's house? So Ibrahim ibn Adham says, "Cow you don't get here, it's in the jungle." And what was more surprising, that as a stranger, how was he able to come into in the palace? So Ibrahim ibn Adham, when he told him this, that person then told him that when you can't find a cow on the roof of somebody's house, how can you find the marifat of Allah when you sleep in comfort? How can we get the closer of Allah without making an effort and sacrifice? My dear brethren and spirit elders, for everything we have make sacrifice, it is important that we make sacrifice to purify our souls and to purify our nufus. We have to liberate ourselves. We have to liberate ourselves from that prison of all those bad and evil thoughts and all those evil things that are contained in our hearts. Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, he has given one example. There was one king from Persia. He was going to India. So he asked all his royal courtiers, "I'm going to India, you want anything?" So all the royal courtiers, they told the king, "I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that." And then finally, Ibrahim, the king went to his bird, which was locked up inside a cage. He asked the bird, "You want anything?" The bird said, "No, I don't want nothing. But one thing I want you to do for me. When you come across the birds in India, and you see a bird, they are flying around freely and chirping away, then must convey my salam to that bird." So the king was surprised. "Is this all you want?" He said, "No, that's all I want." The king goes to India, and in India, he saw one bird, and it was chirping away very freely. So the king addressed the bird and told the bird that, "I've got a bird, it's locked up in a cage, and I wanted to give it a gift, but it only told me that I should convey my salam to you." So the king conveyed the salam to the bird. To the shock and the amazement of the king, this bird died. And the king thinking to himself, "Ye kya jurm ho gaya? Salam pahunchana bhi jurm hai. I conveyed salam and the bird died." Anyway, he comes back to his bird and he tells his bird that whatever request you made for me to convey the salam, I did that, but the effect of that was that that bird died. So the bird, the king's bird, when he heard this from the king, so this bird also died. It's a jurm bala jurm ho gaya. Wo mara ye mara. Now what? So the king, he opened the cage, he took out the bird and got ready to go and bury the bird. And as he went away, that bird, to the shock and amazement and surprise of the king, it woke up and it flew to a nearby tree. The king is thinking to himself, "Bhai, ye kya majra hai? What is this? How this bird flew away? What's happening?" The bird then told to the king that the bird in India gave me a message that if you want to come out from that cage, if you want to come out, liberate yourself, kill yourself and you'll come out. Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, upon giving this example, He says that, oh servants and oh friends of Allah, if you want to liberate yourself from the wrongs and the evils of your soul, kill your soul, and then after you'll also liberate yourself like how the bird liberated itself. My dear brethren and respected elders, we make dua that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and hidayat, give us the qadr of the Quran Kareem. Allah give us the tawfiq and hidayat to appreciate the remaining moments of the month of Ramadan. Allah save us from the fire of Jahannam, grant us entrance into Jannat and Paradise, and Allah make the tazkiyah of our nufus. For that, we should look for reliable people. Look for people that we are comparable with, and make an effort from now to make tazkiyah of our nufus. We're not going to start now, my dear brethren and respected elders, for the rest of our lives. We will carry on like that, leading a very, very unpeaceful life. And also, I wish to also address my beloved youth. The youth in any community, remember, you are in the prime of your life. You are in the most significant aspect of your life. The world today is the reflection of the youth of yesterday. What the youth of yesterday were, we are seeing the effect of it today. And what the youth of today going to be, that's what the world is going to be tomorrow. So, my beloved youth, value your life, appreciate your life. You are like the midday sun, right in the prime of the heat. You are like the 14th moon, with the most amount of light. You are very energetic. You are like the plant that is so nutritious and ready for consumption. You are like that citrus fruit that is so sweet and so attractive. Appreciate your youth and make the best out of your youth. Try to inculcate in you those qualities through which you could become an asset tomorrow in the community. Do not waste your life. Do not become a burden. And do not become a liability upon the community and upon the ummah. Most of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were the youth. And we can say today, to the large extent, that Islam has been established and moving from generation to generation, it is attributed to the youth of sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't underestimate yourself. Value yourself. And you can have a great impact upon the ummah. Come to the masjid regularly. Educate yourself. Have sufficient secular education. Have sufficient dini education. And whichever field you are taking in life, whether you become a doctor, whether you become a lawyer, whether you become a technician, whether you become a specialist, know well that before whatever I am, I'm first a Muslim. And I would advise my youth, as the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what we are going through today, it is important for us to plan, to be very careful, to be very systematic, and adopt leadership positions. And through those leadership positions, if you are sensitive to deen, you'll be able to advance the cause of deen. But if the youth of today are going to drink wine and alcohol, if the youth of today are going to take drugs, if the youth of today are only going to chase and run behind girls, if the youth of today are just going to rely on the government benefits and don't make a value of your life, then unfortunately, if all the youth are going to do today, what's going to happen to ummah tomorrow? My dear brothers and respected elders, my beloved youth, the future of the ummah lies in you. You have a responsible position. Those that are in the middle age and those that are old, they are going away from the dunya. You are the ones to lead the dunya tomorrow. Value your life and make the best of your life. Once, there was a father and a son. They were walking in a jungle. The son exclaimed. He made a noise. When he made that noise came back. So the son told to the noise, who you are? So the noise came back and told to the son, who you are? Then the son again said, that identify yourself, why are you teasing me? So the sound came back and said, identify yourself, why are you teasing me? So the son is surprised, what is this? He looks at the father and he asks the father, father, what is this? So father says, son, I'll make you understand. Now you will see what I do. The father then told, he's in the open jungle, the father then told to the jungle that how wonderful you are. The answer came back, how wonderful you are. The father said, what can I do for you? The answer came back, what can I do for you? So son is surprised, what is all this? The father then said to the son, oh son, that sound that came back is called echo. Baz gasht, it's echo. And we in the jungle, and what we speak, that voice come back. This, the father then told the son, oh son, just as your voice goes and you come back, what you contribute to life, that will come back to you. What you give into life, that will also come back to you. So my beloved youth, appreciate your life. Value yourself position. And we need the youth of today to contain themselves. We need the youth of today to be academics. We need the youth to be sensitive to deen. And my dear brothers and sister elders, as a parting advice, I would also very strongly emphasize that we need to be very, very careful with our non-Muslim counterparts. We should be good to them. We should be kind to them. We should be loving to them. We should be compassionate to them. Islam is a religion of peace. We should show peace to them. And we should live by, lead by example. It is unfortunate today, to a large extent, that Islam has a bad image, not because of any outsiders, it is because of our own self. It is our own doings, our wrong character, our wrong conduct. We need to first straighten ourselves up. And when we lead by example, we will be able to win over the confidence of our non-Muslim counterparts. Who, whenever we come across non-Muslims, let us lead by example. Let us show them a smile. Let us greet them. Let us be good towards them. Let them see our akhlaq and character. And every Muslim does that, then inshallah, in a short period of time, there will be a huge change. But if we are going to be hostile, if we are going to do anything unbecoming, then we'll only have our own self to be blamed. Let us be the smart ones. Don't play into the hands of anyone that have evil intentions. Let us be good and let us do what Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to do. And remember, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a beautiful example. How Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, how soft he was, how compassionate he was, how caring he was for the non-Muslim that brought them to Islam. We have that example to follow by. We make dua, Allah Taba give us tawfiq and hidayat, and Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala give us true understanding of deen. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.